You're listening to Wikisleep. I'm your host, Vanessa LaBelle. Before we get into the story, let's begin by taking a few slow, deep breaths. Deep breathing has an amazing, calming effect, helping reduce stress and anxiety and allowing you to relax a little. To do this, simply breathe out all the way, emptying your lungs and abdomen. Then, at the top of your breath, pause for a moment before breathing out slowly and emptying again completely. Pause briefly at the bottom of your breath, and then repeat the process as many times as you like, as often as you like. Deep breathing is a great way to get grounded, whether you're at work, in a stressful situation, or just settling down to listen to a story like this. Today's story, Charles the Mad. Charles VI, also known as Charles the Mad, was king of France from 1380 until his death in 1422. He is known for his mental illness and psychotic episodes that plagued him throughout his life. King Charles was born in Paris, in the royal residence of the Hotel Saint-Paul on December 3, 1368. He was the son of the King of France, Charles V, of the House of Valois, and of Joanna of Bourbon. His elder brothers having died before he was born, Charles was heir to the French throne and held the title Dauphin of France. At his father's death on September 16, 1380, he inherited the throne. His coronation took place on November 4, 1380. He was only 11 years old when he was crowned King of France. Being so young, France was ruled by Charles's uncles as regents. Although the royal age of majority was 14, the regency lasted until Charles turned 21. Included in the regents were Philip the Bold, Duke of Burgundy, Louis I, Duke of Anjou, and John, Duke of Berry, all brothers of King Charles V. Of the uncles, Philip the Bold took the dominant role during the regency. Louis of Anjou was busy fighting for his claim to the Kingdom of Naples after 1382 and died in 1384. John of Berry was interested mainly in the Languedoc and not particularly interested in politics. And Louis of Bourbon was a largely unimportant figure, owing to his personality, showing signs of mental instability. During the rule of his uncles, the financial resources of the kingdom, painstakingly built up by his father, were squandered for the personal profit of the dukes, whose interests were frequently divergent or even opposing. The power of the royal administration was strengthened and taxes re-established to support the self-serving policies of the king's uncles. But the spending continued. In 1388, Charles VI brought the regency to an end, taking up personal rule. He restored to power the highly competent advisors of his father, known as the Marmosets, who ushered in a new period of high esteem for the crown. At the beginning of his reign, Charles VI was widely referred to as Charles the Beloved by his subjects. But his early successes with the Marmosets as his counselors quickly dissipated as a result of the bouts of psychosis he experienced from his mid-20s. Mental illness may have been passed on for several generations through his mother, Joanna of Bourbon. Although still called by his subjects Charles the Beloved, he became known also as Charles the Mad. Charles's first known episode occurred in 1392, when his friend and advisor, Olivier de Clisson, was the victim of an attempted murder. Although Clisson survived, Charles was determined to punish the would-be assassin, Pierre de Crayon, who had taken refuge in Brittany. John V, Duke of Brittany, was unwilling to hand him over, so Charles prepared a military expedition. Contemporaries said Charles appeared to be in a fever to begin the campaign and disconnected in his speech. He set off with an army on July 1st, 1392. The progress of the army was slow, driving Charles into a frenzy of impatience. As the king and his escort were traveling through the forest near Le Mans on a hot August morning, a barefoot leper dressed in rags rushed up to the king's horse and grabbed his bridle. "Ride no further, noble king," he yelled. "Turn back, you are betrayed." The king's escorts beat the man back, but did not arrest him, and he followed the procession for half an hour, repeating his cries. The company emerged from the forest at noon. A page who was drowsy from the sun dropped the king's lance, which clanged loudly against a steel helmet carried by another page. Hearing this, Charles shuddered, drew his sword, and yelled, "Forward against the traitors. They wish to deliver me to the enemy." The king spurred his horse and began swinging his sword at his companions. He fought against his own men until one of his chamberlains and a group of soldiers were able to grab him from his mount and lay him on the ground. He lay still and did not react, then fell into a coma. The king had killed a knight known as the Bastard of Polignac and several other men. These periods of mental illness were to continue throughout the king's life. During one in 1393, he could not remember his name and did not know he was king. When his wife came to visit, he asked his servants who she was and ordered them to take care of what she required so that she would leave him alone. During an episode in 1395, He claimed he was Saint George and that his coat of arms was a lion with a sword thrust through it. At this time, he recognized all the officers of his household, but did not know his wife nor his children. Sometimes he ran wildly through the corridors of his Parisian residence, the Hotel Saint Paul, and to keep him inside, the entrances were walled up. In 1405, he refused to bathe or change his clothes for 5 months. His later psychotic episodes were not described in detail, perhaps because of the similarity of his behavior and delusions. Pope Pius II wrote in his commentaries that there were times when Charles thought he was made of glass, and thus tried to protect himself in various ways so that he would not break. He reportedly had iron rods sewn into his clothes so that he would not shatter if he came into contact with another person. This condition has come to be known as glass delusion. Charles's secretary, Pierre Samon, spent much time in discussions with the king while he was intermittently psychotic. In an effort to find a cure for the king's illness, stabilize the turbulent political situation, and secure his own future, Samon supervised the production of 2 distinct versions of the beautifully illuminated guidebooks to good kingship known as Pierre Samon's Dialogues. On January 29th, 1393, a masked ball, which later became known as the Ball of the Burning Men, had been organized by Isabeau of Bavaria to celebrate the wedding of one of her ladies in waiting at the Hotel Saint Paul. At the suggestion of Huguette de Guise, the king and 4 other lords dressed up as wild men and danced around. They were dressed in costumes of linen cloth sewn onto their bodies and soaked in resinous wax or pitch to hold a covering of frazzled hemp, so that they appeared shaggy and hairy from head to foot. At the suggestion of one Yvan de Foix, the king commanded that the torchbearers were to stand at the side of the room. Nonetheless, the king's brother, Louis I, who had arrived late, approached with a lighted torch in order to discover the identity of the masqueraders, and accidentally set one of them on fire. This caused a panic, and the flames spread. The Duchess of Berry threw the train of her gown over the king in order to protect him. Several knights who tried to put out the flames were severely burned. 4 of the wild men perished. Charles de Poitiers, son of the Count of Valentinois, Huguette de Guise, Yvan de Foix, and the Count of Joigny. Another, Jean, son of the Lord of Nantillet, saved himself by jumping into a dishwater tub. On September 18th, 1394, Charles suddenly published an ordinance in which he declared, in substance, that for a long time he had been taking note of the many complaints provoked by the excess and misdemeanors of the Jews against Christians. and that the prosecutors had made several investigations and discovered that the Jews broke agreements with the king on many occasions. Therefore, he decreed, as an irrevocable law and statute, that no Jew should dwell in his domains. The king signed this decree at the insistence of the queen. The decree was not immediately enforced, however. A respite was granted to the Jews in order that they have enough time to sell their property and pay their debts. Those indebted to them were enjoined to redeem their obligations within a set time. Otherwise, their pledges held in pawn were to be sold by the Jews. Subsequently, the king released Christians from their debts. With Charles VI mentally ill, from 1393, his wife Isabeau presided over a regency council on which sat the grandees of the kingdom. Philip the Bold, Duke of Burgundy, who acted as regent during the king's minority, had a great influence on the queen. But influence eventually shifted to Louis I, Duke of Orléans, the king's brother, another contender for power, and it was suspected, the queen's lover. John, Duke of Berry, served as a mediator between the Orléans party, what would become the Armagnac, and the Burgundy party. The rivalry would increase bit by bit, and in the end result in outright civil war. On the death of Philip the Bold in April 1404, his son, John the Fearless, took over the political aims of his father, and the feud with Louis escalated. In 1407, Louis of Orléans was murdered in Paris. John did not deny responsibility, claiming that Louis was a tyrant who squandered money. Louis's son Charles, the new Duke of Orléans, turned to his father-in-law, Bernard VII, Count of Armagnac, for support against John the Fearless. This resulted in the Armagnac-Burgundian Civil War, which lasted from 1407 until 1435, beyond Charles's reign. Though the war with the English was still in progress, with the English taking over much of the country, John the Fearless sought to end the feud with the royal family by negotiating with the Dauphin Charles, the king's heir. They met at the bridge at Montereau on September 10th, 1419. But during the meeting, John was killed by Tanguy de Chastel, a follower of the Dauphin. John's successor, Philip the Good, the new Duke of Burgundy, threw in his lot with the English. Charles VI's reign was marked by the continuing conflict with the English, known as the Hundred Years' War. An early attempt at peace occurred in 1396, when Charles's daughter, the almost 7-year-old Isabel of Valois, married the 29-year-old Richard II of England. By 1415, however, the feud between the French royal family and the House of Burgundy led to chaos and anarchy throughout France, a situation that Henry V of England was eager to take advantage of. Henry led an invasion that culminated in the defeat of the French army at the Battle of Agincourt in October. In May 1420, Henry V and Charles VI signed the Treaty of Troyes, which named Henry as Charles's successor, and stipulated that Henry's heirs would succeed him on the throne of France. It disinherited the Dauphin Charles, then only 17 years old. In 1421, it was implied in Burgundian propaganda that the young Charles was illegitimate. The treaty also betrothed Charles's daughter, Catherine of Valois, to Henry. Disinheriting the Dauphin in favor of Henry was a blatant act against the interests of the French aristocracy, supported by the Duke of Burgundy. Henry V died just a few weeks before Charles, in August 1422, leaving an infant son who became King Henry VI of England. According to the Treaty of Troyes, with the death of Charles, little Henry also became King of France. His coronation as such was in Paris at the Cathedral of Notre Dame on December 26, 1431. The son disinherited by Charles continued to fight to regain his kingdom. In 1429, Joan of Arc arrived on the scene. She led his forces to the victory against the English and took him to be crowned at Reims Cathedral as King Charles VII of France on July 17, 1429. He became known as Charles the Victorious and was able to restore the French line to the throne of France by defeating the English in 1450. After an astounding 42 years on the throne, Charles VI died on October 21st, 1422 in Paris at the Hotel Saint Paul. He was interred in Saint Denis Basilica, where his wife Isabeau of Bavaria would join him soon after her death in September 1435. Charles the Mad was 53 years old when he died.